السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay. All right. Can I get your attention?
No.
Okay. Today we're going to talk about the wisdom of Allah. So the subject, Yanina, is the wisdom of Allah. And the first wisdom that we want to talk about, dividing the shares. Because the people are most angry about the shares they got. You know that?
Shares of what?
Shares of life. Dividing the shares of life. You know,
everybody,
almost everybody says, I didn't get enough shares. I deserve more. Either saying that or feeling that way. It's like wanting more. So we need to really understand very well the wisdom of Allah in dividing the shares. Everybody looks and says, oh, this guy has more shares than me. Oh, this guy has better shares than me. Right? Wisdom of Allah dividing the shares. Now, if you believe that if something has happened, if you believe that someone can come up with a better scenario than what actually happened, then you believe in the name of Allah the most wise. Got it? Did you get that one? Did you get it? So let me repeat that. If you believe that someone else can come up with a scenario better than what Allah made happen, then you are not a believer in the name of Allah the most wise. So what is it again?
If you don't believe...
Let's start recording actually.
No.
Oh, we started, okay.
If you believe that someone...
Yes, if something has happened already, if you believe that somebody can come up with a better scenario, then you don't believe in Allah the most wise. Now, given this scenario that Allah chooses, some people are winners and some people are
losers.
So you want to pray to Allah and say, Ya Allah, whatever the scenario you choose is, make me among the winners. Make me among the winners. Got it? Got it? So the scenario that Allah chooses, okay, there are winners and
losers.
So you pray to Allah to become among
the winners.
That's very good. Now, the most controversial area.
The most wise was
the most wise. Al-Hakim. So the area that Allah, that people are not satisfied about the most is the way Allah divided the shares. Now, question. Dividing the shares, is it pre-assigned? Your shares of life, are they pre-assigned or not? Yes or not?
Yes.
Yes, they're pre-assigned. Can you get more or less than the pre-assigned shares?
No.
No. Then where is the test of submission there? There are multiple tests of submission associated with having dividing the shares. The first test of submission... Do you like what Allah gave to you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Are you really satisfied?
Yeah.
Or you're angry?
I'm okay.
A lot of people are angry about the shares that Allah gave to them. And they say, Ya Allah, we deserve better than that. Ya Allah, you're not giving us enough. Ya Allah, you give this guy and he's so stupid and, you know, and an idiot. You gave him so much money. And me, the smart, wise guy, you're giving me much less money? Ya Allah! Yes. And there are people who say, okay, Allah gives the earrings to the one who don't have ears. This saying is very insulting to Allah. They say Allah gives earrings to the ones who don't have ears. Okay, you got that? So what is the thing that Allah, that people are most angry about?
Money and power?
Yes, that division of shares of life. Everybody's happy about his division? This division or not?
No.
Almost everybody's not happy. People feel angry about their shares, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. People feel in their heart that people question Allah and say, Ya Allah, how come you give this guy a lot of money and you gave me much less? True or false? People say, Ya Allah, this guy is a stupid and idiot and he got all this money and I'm a smart, wise guy. I didn't get much money. This is yes, true or false?
True.
People say, very rude, mean people say, or very rude people, they say, Allah gives earrings to the one who doesn't have ears. Meaning what?
Weird.
Allah's blind. Allah's dividing the shares blindly. Just like, you don't have ears, take earrings. It's like, you don't need ears if you have, you don't need earrings if you have ears, if you don't have ears, right? They say Allah gives the earrings to the ones who don't have ears. This is good or bad?
Bad.
Okay, so let's stop here. Let's not write anymore until I tell you. Got it? Because I want the attention of the people. All right. So now let's question the first. The next question is the shares. The way Allah divides the shares are they pre-assigned? Or it depends on your efforts?
Pre-assigned.
Yes, exactly. It does not depend on your efforts. Then the next question is, where is the test of submission then,
if they are pre-assigned? It does depend on your efforts, but Allah knows what the outcome is going to be, so therefore it's pre-assigned?
No. Why? It does not depend on your efforts at all.
So you can like not work a job? And so,
be rich,
get money.
No, then you know if you don't work a job and you live poor, then you know these are the shares that Allah has assigned to you. It's to be poor because you're stupid. You know?
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy then, right?
Yes, I mean, it is. You need to know that you have to do your homework. Allah is not going to like do your laundry and vacuum your carpet and feed you, cook for you. No, that's not going to happen.
Dang it.
But let me tell you what the test is. We said that, here's the trick. We said that the shares are pre-assigned. But now, where is the test of submission here? The test of submission is, number one, you accept what Allah has given to you and don't be angry about it. Yes. You accept what Allah gave to you and you are not angry about it. And number two, Allah wants to see if you get your shares the halal way or the haram way. That's a very important criteria. Test of submission. The shares are pre-assigned. So,
how
you get the shares, you can get the shares two ways. Haram way and halal way. So, the shares are yours. They are pre-assigned to you. And there are two ways to get it. Halal way and haram way. If you get it the halal way, then you get it with hasanat. You got that? If you get it the haram way, then you get it with sayyi'at. You got that? So two tests of submissions are associated with, two tests of submissions are associated with the division of shares by Allah. What's the first test? Yes. Or be angry with Allah about it. Okay, feel angry. Feel angry with Allah that He didn't give you enough. And He gave this, your neighbor, the bad guy, better than you and you're the good guy. So, number two, what's the number two? Allah wants to see how do you get your shares.
Yeah.
The halal way or the haram way. Let me give you an example. Ali ibn Abi Talib, this story will really explain to you what I mean. Stop writing. So, Ali ibn Abi Talib once, Ali ibn Abi Talib has a camel. And then he went into the town and he had some business to finish. And he could not take the camel with him. So, he wanted somebody to take care of the camel. So, he selected someone that he knows. Yes, go ahead. No. So, he selected some guy who, the guy that he knows, and he said, can you please take care of the camel for me?
I'm sorry,
So, got it? So, got it so far? So far, got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, about, can you keep an eye on the camel for me? The guy said, yes, yes, I can.
Seriously? That's not going to work.
Okay, really.
I know it's there. We can all see it.
Here, put this on the top of that.
Thank you.
So the guy said, yes.
Yeah,
hello, just please, please focus here, focus. So the guy said, do you really hear? Yes, yes, I'll take care of the camel. And Ali ibn Abi Talib saw in his eyes that he liked the camel so much and he's so greedy. He wants the camel for himself. So Ali ibn Abi Talib left to do his business. While he's on his way back, he thought about doing a good deed. He said, okay, this guy wanted the camel and he was looking to the camel in a very greedy way. It's like a very, like a big wish to own this camel. So let me do him a favor and give him the camel as a charity. So he went back, he found that the guy stole the camel. He said, subhanAllah, if he would have waited, he would have got the camel as a gift, which is halal. But he could not wait. Or
not patient,
no. Allah will look into your heart and see. If you're willing to get the shares the haram way, Allah will let you get them the haram way. You got it? You understand this very well? This is very accurate. Allah, if you're decided and say, Ya Allah, I am not getting the shares the haram way, then Allah will give them to you the what? Halal way. So the guy... The guy, Allah has assigned this camel to this guy among his shares.
No.
But because Allah knew that he was willing to steal, so Allah made him get it the what? Haram way. If he was righteous and he said, Ya Allah, I am determined in his heart that I am not getting it the haram way, it doesn't matter what, then what happens? Allah would have given to him the halal way. Yeah, we're coming to that. It's part of today's lesson.
Okay.
Okay?
Finish your writing again.
No, because they will start copying and not focusing. Okay. You got that part?
Okay.
You see the trick? So, let's say the amount of fun that you get, the amount of fun you get is assigned to you, is among the shares. So the shares are not only the money and wealth, it's about of happiness too. Happiness, pain and pleasure are among the shares. So somebody says, pain and pleasures, are they among the shares that Allah divides? The answer is
yes,
pain and pleasure. Okay, now how about if you run away from the pain of fasting? You can have the pain the halal way or
the haram way.
The haram way. Let's say if you run away from the pain of fasting, as an example. Fasting is painful, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
After like a certain point, you're hungry, and then after that,
you forget.
But a lot of people, yeah, it's hard. It's not something that people like. Okay?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. How about praying 5 times a day?
I don't know.
Is it easy?
No.
Don't share, say I don't. Say I'm fine.
No, I like it, but it's
not. It's a burden, right?
Yeah.
If you run away from the burden of praying, okay, then you've reduced your pain, right? You think that? Let me give you the news. If you run away from the pain of praying and fasting, you get the pain another way, some other way. How? Allah gives you the pain. You think that you ran away from pain? No, Allah can give you the pain through depression. Allah can give you the pain through cancer.
And that's only if he's nice. Because you could get the pain through your hellfire.
Yes. And you get the pain.
That's not funny.
Allah assigns you 5 units of pain. If you're smart, you get them in fasting and praying. If you're ignorant, you get them in diseases. You think that, huh, you can close the door of pain that Allah has assigned to you and get away with it? The answer is No, sir. No, ma'am. You will get it. You will get it whether you like it or not. If you don't get it in the worship. So Allah looks, okay, is this guy a righteous guy who's going to get the pain in worship and fasting? Then if the answer is yes, then Allah will give them to you the good way, which is, you know, fasting and prayers. If not, Allah will give them to you the cancer way, the terrible way, the disastrous way. How about the shares of fun or pleasure? Same thing. If you are determined to get your pleasure the halal way and only the halal way, so you're saying, I am going to have only halal fun and nothing but
halal fun.
Okay? If you know that, if you decide that, then Allah will give you the fun, the pleasure, the halal way. But if you say it's okay to get the haram pleasure, then Allah will give you the pleasure, the haram way. Another good example about that the amount of pleasure assigned to you are predetermined, the people who do drugs.
Really?
Yeah. People, but I'll just give you an example. People who do drugs, they borrow their happiness from the future into the present. You know? You got it? It's like, do you know, remember this curve?
Oh, yeah.
Can you draw it? The people who do drugs. And so basically, they have a constant amount of pleasure assigned to them. Huh? No, just a drug thing.
Okay.
So you get, so the amount of pleasure assigned to you or the is like constant. What if you do drugs? You're basically not increasing your amount of pleasure. You're borrowing pressure from the future. And the future will be very depressed. Right? Is that clear? Okay. So the bottom line here is that if you are willing to take, if you're determined that you're not going to take your pleasure the haram way, then Allah will give them to you the what?
Halal way.
And by the way, pleasure is not what you own. Pleasure is satisfaction. Pleasure is what?
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction. Like you can find somebody, and I've seen that story with my own eyes. There was a princess, Saudi princess, and she was living in a fancy home in Egypt. And near this home, there was a very poor lady. Very poor lady. She lives in a cage built of trash. And then she used to sell like vegetables and things like that so that she can get something to live on. And when the princess came, the princess was so arrogant. And she was so depressed. You do this. You do this. And she was so depressed. She's not satisfied. And she didn't appreciate that she's a princess at all. It was like she's, it's just like she's not feeling happy about it. Okay? At the same time, I went to that poor lady. And, you know.
You were there?
Yeah. When I when I bought things from her, she said, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So one is very happy, even though she's living in a cage of trash. One is very depressed, even though she's living in a fancy home.
Well, there's actually a scientific study about this. They put a girl inside this room, and it was full of toys. The girl, she would be interested in one for like 10 seconds, and then she'd be like, ooh, great. And then she, after like maybe five of them, she was really unsatisfied, and she's like, I'm bored. And like, you know how kindergartners do, would feel the need of saying their needs out loud. But, and then there's another one, and I forget the gender, had one toy, and it was like kind of a poor one, but he was satisfied for longer than the girl was with all of those toys.
Yes. So you can feel, you can have somebody who's very rich and not satisfied and angry about his shares, and somebody who's very poor, but he or she is happy. Okay, now, things are a matter of perception. Things are a matter of what?
Perception.
Can you explain this?
No.
Okay, it means, go ahead.
That poster, have you ever seen it? It's like, oh, it's half full. Oh, it's
glasses
half empty. Show me the glasses half empty or it's half full. It's like it's the negative perspective and it's the positive perspective. It's the exact same thing, like the exact same cup, but it depends on whether you see it or not.
You see, it's a perception. Things are perception. So it doesn't matter what the reality is. Trust me, it doesn't matter what the reality is. What matters is how do you feel about it. Do you understand this very well? Okay. Even if you are, like I was one time in a surgery, in my back surgery, and I was screaming my lungs out of pain. It was, oh my God, it was very painful, that this problem, before the surgery. So when I went to the hospital, they wanted to ease my pain, so they gave me morphine.
Morphine.
Yes, but they wanted to kill the pain. Now, the pain didn't go away. The pain was the same, but I was happy. Happy with what? Happy. How about the pain? I had the pain, but I was happy. So my perception, all what they did, they changed my perception of pain.
Have you heard of the placebo effect?
Yeah. What is it?
It's like, what happens is there's no actual evidence saying that vitamin C boosts your immunity response. But actually the fact that you think it will helps you. Like when you take some of those really strong medicines, like birth control pills, for example, you take like 6 of them, and then the 7th one is a placebo, and they don't tell you which one is.
Mm-hmm.
So that your body reacts with that, even though there's nothing in there.
Because it's like your brain.
Right. It's a perception kind of thing. Yeah.
And that's why sometimes there's some person who's like, oh, I'm having so many headaches, and blah, 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 blah.
But
and
see,
like,
that's why little kids, like, their mommies can kiss their pain away, because they think that their pain is going away, but then they're thinking that so they don't feel the pain.
Yeah, all these examples are wonderful, because that is exactly what I wanted to explain. Things are a matter of perception, not reality. So don't be so... There's at least 98% of the people, population on the earth, want to be in your place. In the Silicon Valley, in the United States of America, not only that, in the Silicon Valley, and living in a nice home, I can guarantee you 98% of the people in the world want to be in your place, not to mention like a lot of people in the United States also want to be in your place. What I'm trying to get to you is that this thing that you're taking for granted and you're not so excited about it, okay, a lot of people want to have what you have. But what happens to them if you have what you have? They will get used to it and then they will feel they want more. You got that part?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the curve of borrowing from the future. From the happiness in the future. Good.
So does that mean if we're happy now, we're not going to be happy in the future?
No, if you're doing drugs, if you're doing drugs right now, you're borrowing from your happiness in the future. No, that's not what I'm saying.
But if it's artificial happiness, it's coming from the future.
So, if I ask you to choose to get $10 million plus feeling of no satisfaction, or $1,000 plus feeling of satisfaction. Which one you choose? I sell, okay, here's the deal. $1 billion.
$1 billion.
Okay, plus feeling of no satisfaction. Can you write, did you? Feeling of no satisfaction. Compared to $1,000 plus the feeling of satisfaction.
If I had $1 billion, I'd be satisfied.
You really, really don't know what you're talking about. Honestly. I mean, there was that singer in the England. Okay, she became so famous, and then when she became so famous, like a couple of years later, she committed suicide. Why? Because once she became famous, she became happy about it, and then she started becoming sad.
How much money?
$1 billion plus feeling of no satisfaction, or $1,000 plus the feeling of satisfaction. Or let me say, $1 billion plus rich, but $1 billion plus depression, or $1,000 without depression. If you ask me to choose, I choose $1,000 with satisfaction and no depression. So it's not what you have. You can get money. You can get really good money, but you're not satisfied about it. You're not happy. You're not appreciating it. You're depressed. And a lot of rich people get depressed. Why? Because they ran out of pleasures. They ran out of things. You name the pleasure, they did it. Right? They did everything that you can imagine. And then they got bored. There's nothing more. They got the pleasure, all what the life can offer. The maximum amount of pleasure in this life, they got it. They got used to it. There's nothing more that they enters them. Got it? And then on the other hand, there are things that they can't get. And they are very angry that they are so rich, but they couldn't get it. So they end up depressed. They end up killing themselves. But at the same time, a poor family, if they just get $1,000, alhamdulillah, ya Allah, alhamdulillah, $1,000. We're so happy and so thankful to you. So happiness is not associated with how much money or how much do you have. You got this part well?
That's why I like the song Happy by
Oh, oh yeah. Heard it like 10 billion times.
Yes.
They actually performed it in my school. Like the music
So you shared.
It was stuck in my head for the rest of the day.
So your shares of life. Your shares of life is not only how much money do you have or how much health do you have, it is how do you perceive things. How do you perceive things? Got it? Is it pre-assigned? Yes, it's pre-assigned. If Allah will see that if you're determined not to get the fun the haram way, so say if you're determined not to get fun the haram way.
I stopped it.
And get it only the halal way.
I need to catch up on notes.
No. Yeah, here. Then do the same thing with pleasures. With pleasure. Got it? Okay. So that's an important thing to understand about dividing the shares. Now, these shares are pre-assigned. Now, there was a guy, his name is Thu'aylaba, at the time of the Prophet. He used to love money so much. Money was so dear to him. And he was a homeless. Homeless people live in the masjid of the Prophet. So homeless people live where? In the masjid of the Prophet. And they wait for somebody, like, they don't wait, but, you know, or they actually wait for somebody to bring them, like, some dates or something they feed on. So if somebody, like, wants to do a charity, they take the food with them to the masjid and give it to them. Anyway, this guy used to love money so much. And he kept nagging on the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad, please pray to Allah to make me rich. Prophet Muhammad tells him, what? He tells him, you don't know what you're asking for. Right now, you have little, and you're thanking to Allah, okay, is enough to compare to what you have, right? You don't have, because when you have much more money, then your thanking, your expected thanking is much more, right? Does Allah expect from the poor, from the rich, what he expects from the poor? If Bill Gates donates $5,000, okay, is that a big deal to Allah?
No.
But if there is a guy who's poor donated $1, then that matters to Allah. Mm-hmm. Why? The Prophet said, $1, instead of dirham, I say $1, might be better in the eyes of Allah than $100,000. The companion said, huh? How? How? The companion
because
said,
the
how?
Guy doesn't have that much.
He said, one guy is so rich.
$1 is really important.
The other guy, he said, he has $2. He donated one, so it's 50%. The rich guy, he took some of his wealth, just like an amount that doesn't even, he cares about knowing how much it is. Okay? And then he donates it. Okay? So, when they calculate the wealth of Bill Gates, they say it's $250 million. Did you ever hear them saying? Did you ever?
Have Bill Gates died yet?
Yeah. Did they ever them saying it's 250 million, 136, 237.25 cents? Did you ever see them saying this is the wealth of Bill Gates? No. They always say 250 million. Why? Because these numbers to the right, it's not important, right? But let's say for somebody else, the $136,000 is really important for a person, from another person. For Bill Gates, no. It's just not important. These digits are not significant digits. Okay? So, you see what I'm saying? So the prophet told him, your level of your ability to think, okay, is fine for what you have right now. Your ability to think is fine for what you have right now. If you get more, you might not be able to thank Allah for. Uh-huh. You might not be able to thank Allah for. So what happened? Did he learn the lesson? Did he accept the advice? No, he kept denying. Prophet Muhammad, please pray to Allah to become rich. Prophet Muhammad tells him the same thing again. Prophet Muhammad, please. So at the end, Prophet Muhammad prayed to Allah, Ya Allah, make him rich. So Allah made him rich. So he started trading in the market. He got very busy with business. He started skipping prayers. He wouldn't come to pray Dhuhr or Asr or Maghrib or whatever.
Wait, wasn't there already like first Dhuhr because it was during business hours? And then Asr because it was also during business hours, but it was a little bit more convenient than Dhuhr because it's like right there. And then Aisha because he was way too tired.
So basically, what I'm trying to say is that whatever prayer that was inconvenient for him, he would skip. And he would do only the convenient prayers. You got that? And then, after a while, he stopped showing up in the masjid altogether. He stopped praying altogether. So the Prophet asks about him. They say he's busy trading. He's busy in the market. In his business trading.
Then what's the name?
Su'aylaba.
I hate English.
Su'aylaba. So, yes. And then, is that it? No. The Prophet sent him a person who collects zakat. You know, there is a zakat collector by the Muslim government. He goes to the people, the rich people in the neighborhood, and he takes their zakah from them and he gives it to the poor people in the same neighborhood. Watch what I'm saying. They take zakah from the rich people in one neighborhood and give it to the poor people in the same. They don't take zakah away. Why?
So the rich people could see where it's going.
Yes. So they can see it right there. It's not taken away. It's just like taken from here, given, taken from this guy, given to that guy in the same neighborhood. So now the Prophet sent him the zakat collector to collect zakat. He was so angry about it. He didn't want to pay it. And he said, go back and tell your companion, Muhammad, that these are taxes of slavery. These are not charity. These are taxes of slavery. So the guy went back and told Prophet Muhammad this. Prophet Muhammad said, Su'aylaba is doomed. Su'aylaba is doomed. You got it? You see? So he died as Allah gave ayahs about him in the Quran. And he died as a bad guy. He met Allah as a bad guy. You see that? He wasn't, Allah did not, he did not fix himself before meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? So now, then the question comes, why doesn't Allah just make everybody rich? So what's the problem here?
It's a test.
Right, but
because then there'd be no point of zakah. What would happen if everybody on this planet had all the money in the world?
No, have the, all the money they desire.
They desire. Then nobody would really be tested. I mean, there has to be rich and poor to see if the rich people will give
Zakat. Allah can give them a different test. So they're all which
there
you can always test.
There would be no poor or rich because everyone would be the same.
Yeah, there were two problems. The first problem that Allah said in the Quran that people will turn into spoiled brats.
And then some people get
and they will corrupt the earth. You got it? So Allah says that people will turn into rich.
What if everyone's just like in the middle?
It's still a lot more.
Nobody's going to work because they can just have
yeah. That's the first thing is that remember that a father can spoil his children by giving them all what they desire, right?
Yeah.
Then they get spoiled and then they don't appreciate things and then they get selfish and they get greedy and they really become bad. Yes?
No, it's like most people have phones and my brother and I don't have phones. We could work up the money for a loan. It's just that I don't really want a phone. I don't think important.
Yeah, but this is like...
So it's a matter of perception.
Yeah, this is one case, exactly. Matter of perception is that people will be spoiled. You know the people who have time and money? They really corrupt. They get corrupt easily. Time and money and health, time plus money plus health equals, you know, most likely corruption. It's going to lead most likely to corruption.
Some of my regular school friends, their parents let them watch our movies and stuff like that.
Well, that's another thing. What I'm trying to say that here, like I'll give you an example. I've seen this boy, his parents gave him a car, credit card, cell phone, everything he needs. And then he goes to college. Now he doesn't want to study. Why? There's no motive. He says, well, I have all of it. Why do I need to study?
That's so true.
It's
like yeah? really true.
Like the celebrities, they don't finish school, right?
No, they do, because they have tutors.
Yeah,
a lot of all the younger people, they all have like private tutors.
And they sometimes bribe teachers.
Yeah. But the bottom line is that they don't need to finish their education if they chose to. The bottom line is that the motive goes away. Another important thing is that Allah structured life on a pyramid like this. Can you have the pyramid if everybody got the money that...
No.
They desire
no.
that he or she desires.
So if we can't have pyramids.
Exactly. So we will not have a pyramid. And by not having a pyramid,
the world will end.
Yes, the system, the basis of life on earth, Allah based it on the pyramid system. This pyramid system will collapse.
It's not nice, guys, a
tumor. In my experience.
Oh, I did.
In my experience, rich people
need it.
Rich people who care about others. Rich people who care about others. Yeah. Rich people who care about others.
Yeah.
They are usually happy. And the wealth does not destroy them. The wealth.
Bill Gates.
Really?
Like
Bill Gates donated a lot of money. Which is good.
But people who don't rich people who don't think about others. And they just think about themselves, they usually get corrupted and become unhappy about their money. That's my personal observation. That the ones who care about others and care about charity, they are happy and they enjoy their wealth. The other ones, they usually take heroin or whatever.
Yeah, just
Justin Bieber.
He got deported to Canada. Please, Justin Bieber, please take
him. You got what?
Canada won't take him. No one wants him.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So are you with?
I don't care.
Did he get deported?
No.
So back.
Was he deported?
He was everybody.
He was deported in
Canada. Now,
yeah.
There is one last point.
But he's going to
international
stuff. He should go to Antarctica. No, wait, don't Christian.
Well,
what
do you
do there?
Yeah.
Okay,
this has $1,000, right?
Okay, look at this like these. These are opposites, rich and poor, good and bad. Why doesn't Allah make all rich good, all good people rich, and all bad people poor?
That's like the stereotype, like poor people are all ghetto and bad, and the rich people are like the good people, but they're not the good people because they're mean.
Yes, but we're talking about Allah knows who's good or not. Why isn't it true that Allah would just pick the good guys and make them rich, pick the bad guys and make them poor?
There is
one more stronger reason than this. The stronger reason is that when people are becoming believers, then you question their motive, right? You say you're becoming a believer because you really believe in Allah, or you're becoming a believer because you want to be rich. You see the wisdom here? So if every rich person is like when you become, let's say, a Muslim, Allah will make you rich. All people want to be Muslims. Is it because they love Allah? No.
No, it's because of the money.
Because they love to be rich. Got it? Yeah. So this test of submission will fail.
They take more than what they need.
Well, but nobody would want to be an unbeliever, bad guy. Why? Because bad guys are poor. Then there's no test of submission anymore. You see? And there will be no test of submission. And I will not know your intentions. Are you really becoming good because...
But we don't need to know other people's intentions. We don't...
Allah is telling us. Allah is telling us.
When you went to jail to convert people to being Muslim, did you tell them this?
I don't remember. Don't remember. Now, the other... Why doesn't Allah do the opposite? Makes all the good people poor and all the rich people bad.
Because everyone wants to be bad to be rich.
Yes. Allah said every single person on the earth will turn into bad person. Why?
Me.
Why? Because there is an incentive there. Okay. You got all these possibilities covered? Then what happens? Allah made the choices. Allah makes both believers and non-believers rich, and Allah makes...
It doesn't leave.
Huh? No, we still have a few more minutes.
12, 5.
Yeah, Sanya, come on, sit. Calm down. So, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed to Allah. He said, Ya Allah, make my people...
What was the reason for this? Just spoiled rats, right? So there would be
no pyramids.
There will be people who turned into spoiled rats, new, and then the pyramid. The pyramid is not going to work. Because the pyramid...
Okay.
Basically, there's no structure to life.
Yeah, no pyramid structure. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah, he said, Ya Allah, give the believers among my children, give them wealth. He said, give the believers of my children from among my children wealth. Allah said, no, I'll give believers and non-believers from your children wealth. Okay? I'll give them both. And I will make both rich or poor. So he did correct him. He did say that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you're rich, do you always get what you want? There's want and there's get. Okay? You might want something, but you don't get it.
Oh, needs and wants. They teach you this in first grade, so...
Needs and wants. Or what you can say is what you get... And what you want. Not everything you want, you get. Who decides?
Allah.
And this is mercy from Allah. Let's say the Pharaoh. You know how many people on earth have the same heart like the Pharaoh? Many people. If Allah will allow all of them to have what the Pharaoh has, then what is it going to end up being?
Okay,
world. It's going to be a horrible world. Let's say Hitler, for example. You know how many people have the heart of Hitler? So many people. But only one of them got the powers of Hitler, right? Why Allah wants to reduce evil on earth. So, people, how about the people who want to be evil?
I want to ask you a completely unrelated question. You were talking about the rape camps of, like, the Bosnian War, right? Was anybody punished for their crimes?
Yeah, later they found the International War Crime Court. They prosecuted like a couple of Serbian leaders, something like that. You can Google it.
Like those advisors.
I don't read that. Like, I will never ever do the same. It's horrible.
I know. That's me.
Okay.
You know how the caste system? It has like all the classes of people.
Yeah,
but at
the
bottom there's untouchables.
Peasants.
Like, you can call them poor, but like untouchables. Like,
I'm a peasant.
Don't
even. And there was like the craftsmen.
Yeah.
The merchants.
Soldiers. Craftsmen. Right. Soldiers.
What system?
Hey, it's been 10 minutes.
Okay. Just want 5 more minutes. To finish this subject. All right. To finish this subject.
There.
To finish the distribution of wealth. Now there is another factor that comes with money called efficiency. Called what?
Efficiency.
Efficiency or barakah?
It says
efficiency or barakah. Here. Efficiency means barakah. What does it mean?
Barakah?
Yeah. Allah could give you $1,000. And bless those $1,000 so they really get what you want. But Allah could give you $1,000 without barakah, so they just get wasted. And they really don't get you anything you want. Like, I'll give you an example. Allah could give you $1,000, okay, and give you with the $1,000 a car accident. The car accident will take away $500. So you're left with what?
$500.
But Allah could give you $1,000 with blessings. So what happens? No accidents, and you use the $1,000 to fill your needs. So there is something also called, there's something called efficiency. Called what? Efficiency. So Allah could give you efficiency or barakah. Allah could give you blessed money.
Okay, yeah, but
you got that.
Money.
Exactly. Now, how do you increase the efficiency of your money?
You do prayer.
By donating. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, charity does not decrease the wealth. Charity does not decrease the wealth. So guys said, Prophet Muhammad, if I have $1,000 and I donate $200, I'm left with $800. So how could you say that it does not decrease the wealth? The Prophet ﷺ answered them that these $800 will be blessed by Allah. Okay, so they really worth, the real worth is $800. But that $1,000 are not blessed by Allah. So the real worth of them is like $500. They don't bring you happiness. They don't bring you good things. They bring you bad things, or they get wasted. You got it? You see how the dividing of the shares is not straightforward, it's tricky? It's very tricky. So never, ever be angry with Allah and say, Ya Allah, you didn't give me enough. You always thank Allah for what He didn't give you. Alright? Whether you're happy or not. Got it? Just focus with me here. Focus with me. You thank Allah for what He gave, and you thank Allah for what He didn't give.
He didn't give you the bad stuff.
For whatever money He didn't give to you. You got that? Mm. Or desires He didn't get you. Watch me. You thank Allah is the only one to be thanked if He deprives you. If I deprive you, you don't thank me. You're angry. But if Allah deprives you, you need to be thankful. Because if it's good for you, Allah would have given it to you.
Inshallah.
And then, on the other hand, if Allah You thank Allah for whatever He granted, and you thank Allah for whatever He denied. Huh? Allah is the only one to be thanked for things that He denied. He denied you this thing and He didn't give it to you. You understand?
Understand.
Very well?
Yes.
Okay. Why is that, Zania?
What's the question?
Why Allah is the only one to be thanked if He didn't give or if He deprives? Yeah. He's the only one to be thanked. Because?
Oh, because He's the one who gives us.
He does the best for you.
Yeah.
He does the best for you. So you thank Him for whatever He gave, and you thank Him for whatever He doesn't
give. Yeah, He does.
Now, what is the worst thing about dividing of their shares? It's to be angry with? With Allah.
Yeah.
And say, this person got better than me. Well, do you know that if you become in his place or her place, then you might not be happy.
Yeah.
You know the other grass is cleaner?
The grass is greener.
Yeah.
Somebody
else's yeah. This is delusional. Delusional. You look at somebody else and say, if I have this, I'll be happy. No. The answer is no. That's not true. You might have the same thing and you're not happy about it.
You might be depressed.
Got it?
Yeah.
All right. Now you guys are dismissed. Good. The reason I asked you not to write much notes because I noticed last time they, instead of listening, they are just cutting the notes.
Last time I wasn't writing notes.
Oh no, Tanya was.